Hallelujah. These are great days. God is on the throne and he's staying there, and I don't think he's going to move his address just because there are things that are happening in our world. This is his world. The earth is the Lord's. The earth actually does not belong to the devil. It belongs to the Lord. It's his planet. And hallelujah. God loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. We are in a very strange season. Probably a season we have never ever experienced before. And we have spoken much on seasons in the history of our church. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, that night will follow day, day follow night, and seasons will follow one another. Seed time and harvest, winter and cold, night and day follow. So seasons are not unusual to each and every one of us. Many times the seasons in the natural can teach us about seasons in the spirit. Things that we go through in the realm of the spirit. We are not just physical. We are spirit, soul, and body. We live in two dimensions. We live in the natural world, but we also live in the spiritual world. There is a symbiotic relationship between heaven and earth. And while we live on earth, we pray that God's kingdom will come. The kingdom of heaven will come on earth as it is in heaven. So we have these seasons, and we grapple with them in life. And if I sit down, that's all right. My chair is not good. I don't know what the young adults done with my chair. They're supposed to look after my chair, but the chair is in pieces. So one of the senior saints has taken it home to repair it. Awesome. All right. So it's all right. If you want to stand, you're very welcome. But I'm sitting down, okay? And so in these seasons that we find ourselves in, the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. So natural season, in understanding natural seasons, we should understand spiritual seasons. But many times, we have no problem walking through natural seasons, but we don't like walking through them spiritually. For example, we love the season of summer and harvest and things like that, and it's fantastic, but we also know it doesn't last. We know that after summer comes autumn, and after autumn comes winter, and after winter comes spring, and then it repeats itself. But in the spiritual dimension, we want it to be summer all the time. Have you ever noticed that? We want it to be harvest time all the time. We want everything to be hungry all the time. So when I talk with pastors, and pastors say, oh, it's terrible. Things are not working out. We tried this, we tried the other thing, and we tried, but it doesn't seem to work. It's like everything we touch, just falls down. I said, that's all right. I said, what do you mean that's all right? I said, it's probably just winter in your church. And see, when you go through a winter season in the church, many church people want to manufacture summer. And so some of them migrate. They may migrate to another church or migrate to another town, but they're looking for harvest in the middle of the winter. How many know you can't harvest apple in the middle of the winter? But you can go down the road and buy some. All right. But it's not a harvest season. So I tell pastors, it's just winter. It will just come to pass. You'll just have to walk through this winter. And after winter comes spring. And after spring, you're going to have a harvest time in the church. On the other hand, I meet with pastors that are undergoing through a harvest season in their church. And everything's hunky-dory. Their vision is happening. It doesn't matter what they touch. They have a Midas touch. Everything they touch is gold. So I tell them, enjoy it, because it won't last. It's not that I'm a killjoy. I just understand that there are seasons in God, and they happen naturally, and they also happen spiritually. And we are in a kind of a season right now. And if you understand what we said at the beginning of the year, many of us will not be taken by surprise. We said in the beginning of the year that the number 9 is the end of one time and the beginning of something new in God. And wherever you find 10, 20, 30, where the numerics begin with 0, after 9 they come to 0, you need to expect that God may do something or allow something to happen that has never happened before. You remember that? And now if you had listened to that and knew that, then one of the things that are happening, some of the things that are happening now would not take you by surprise, because it's 2020. Yeah. And not even the church, not even just the church, there are people outside the church and everywhere that talks about a 2020 vision. 2020 is not just a year, it's a decade, it's the beginning of something new, but also expect God to surprise us, because He may do something or allow something to happen that has never, ever happened before. So we talk about the guy Cornelius, a Roman centurion, visited by an angel at the ninth hour. The ninth hour, the closing of one thing and God doing something new. And here is Cornelius having a visitation at the ninth hour, and an angel turn up to somebody that doesn't go to church. But God is going to do something completely new in his life. He's going to be the first Gentile to come into the life of the church. And so dynamic and so different that thing is, that Peter had to be given a vision 3 single times so that he may understand that God is doing something completely new and completely different in the life of this man. Because Peter, even up to that time, after 10 years of miraculous ministry, still believed Gentiles could not be saved. Something completely new. We talk about Abraham. Abraham is from the lineage of Shem. You know, there was Shem, Jephthah, and Ham. All right? Was it Jephthah? Ham, Shem, Japheth. Jephthah is the son of the Gileadite. Hey. All right? So, Abraham is on the lineage of Shem. Between Shem and Terah, the father of Abraham, there are 9 generations. The close of one thing and the beginning of another. And God now is going to do something completely new with this man who's going to walk by faith, become a friend of the living God. That everyone that walks by faith, the Bible tells us that Abraham is our father in the faith. We talk about Noah. Between Adam and Lamech are 9 generations. The close of one, Noah is the 10th, and God did something completely new. He'd never done before. Rain fell during Noah's time. Noah built the first ark. Nobody has never seen a boat before. And then Noah started the new world, and Noah saw the first rainbow. So in 2020, we talk about that God may do something, God may allow something to happen that has never happened before. And our attitude is very important to something that is completely new, that has never happened before in our lives. So we talk about attitude of thanksgiving, that in everything, give thanks, in everything. And even in the midst of the coronavirus, it doesn't say give God thanks for the coronavirus, but it says, give God thanks inside everything. Yeah. Whether you're in jail or out of jail, whether you're hungry or thirsty, doesn't matter whether you're full or not. In everything you give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning all of us. And if that's God's will, then we ought to give Him Thanks. Give the Lord a clap. And we said this, when you give thanks in everything, God has the ability to multiply provision because there's a heart of thanksgiving. So he can multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Giving thanks allow us to open the gates into the presence of God. We come into his gates with thanksgiving. Giving thanks allows chains to be broken, jailhouses to be opened. Hallelujah. Giving thanks releases resurrection anointing, whether it's a resurrection of dead dreams or whatever. But all those come because there is an attitude of thanksgiving. Are you all right? Then we talk about generosity. When you're generous, even when you may not have anything to give, when the widow of Sarepta gave what she had, there was a sustainability where God sustained that woman because of her generosity. Generous with your stuff. Generous with your time. And this is a great season, a great time to be generous. Because there are people that are fearful, people that are panicking. There is something spreading faster than the virus. It's a fear. But between panic and faith is a thing called wisdom. We have to be wise. You have to be hygienic. You have to follow the instructions. A lot of people said, well, we are people of faith. I know. But this is not stupid faith. Let me read to you the Bible, just in case you think I don't preach from the Bible. Let me read to you what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by their desires. All right? Now, the Bible says this. When you lack wisdom. Now, I could read that. You can read that in James chapter 1. When you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom, who gives liberally and upbraideth not. Why did he say ask for wisdom when he tells us to live by faith? The reason he asks us to live by, to ask for wisdom is because many times we need wisdom, whether this is a temptation or this is a test. Are you okay? The devil's part is to tempt us. God's part is to test us. You need the difference. You need to know how to discern. Is this coming from hell or is this coming from heaven? So sometimes we say, well, we live by faith. We all know that we live by faith. This is the very moment we need to live by faith. Our attitude of generosity, our attitude of gratitude, and then our attitude of faith. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
So this is the time where faith comes into its own. Where you live by faith and not by sight. Where you hear the report of the Lord, not the report of the world. Where you need to know and discern what is going on. But it doesn't negate the fact that you need to be hygienic in the way that you live. Have you ever read the book of Leviticus? You know, when there's somebody has a spot on his head, you should do this. Why does he do that? That's hygiene. Leviticus is about the law of sanitary laws, legal laws, and whatever. Why does it say when you touch a dead body, you better be isolate yourself and clean yourself up for a certain period of time? Why does God say that? Hygiene. So when there are hygiene laws coming right now, wiping the surface and washing your, do that. If you hadn't done that before as a practice it now. Yeah. It'll help you. Yeah. You say, but that's the law. We don't live under the law. No, we don't live under the law. But the Bible says the Old Testament and the law was written for our example and our admonitions, those to whom the end of the world has come. That's you and me. And they were written for our instruction. So be wise. Are you okay? It doesn't take away the fact that you believe God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Hello? Doesn't negate any of that. Hallelujah. But we live by faith. And then faith without works is dead. So practice your faith. Be hygienic. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So we've said all that. So this is happening now, something that is totally different, and we should not be taken by surprise. Now let me go back a little bit. Last year, I shared at the beginning of last year about a vision God gave me for us as a church. You see, I saw this mini car and I was hopping into it. My wife was on the other side, but I couldn't fit into the car. And God spoke to me and said, you can't fit into the car the same way that the church is confined. And you need to make all little cars, a lot of little cars, where people can get into. And he said, I want you to restructure the church into small groups because I want to do something great and new. And you can't contain it in the structure the church is in at the moment. So I shared that with the church and I said this, if you're not in a small group, get into one and start one. And many people are there, oh, that's just Pastor Ely saying it. Except that now when you look back, we always look back to understand, but we live forward. Sometimes you don't understand God's instructions until you look back. Now you look back and said, whoa. So God has already been speaking to us about where we are now because God has perfect foresight. Yeah. Nothing takes God by surprise. Yeah. God knows everything at once. He's omniscient. He knows everything at the same time. God does not get better. If God gets better, that means He's not perfect. So God is not better today than yesterday. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows everything. And He knew this was coming. So He warned us. Now, one of our leaders challenged me, and the challenge is correct. He said, a bit worried that you tell people to start a home group. What do we know about those people? Do they believe the same thing that we believe as a church? Some of them may not even agree with the vision of the church. And that's a fair dinkum complaint. Why? Because there are space cadets in the church. And you never know what they're teaching. Like two young ladies many years ago, they were not young, they were about in their 40s. They turned up at my office and they said, Pastor. I said, yeah. We've been praying. I said, yeah. And the Lord spoke to us. I said, okay. What did He say? He said that we are the two witnesses in Revelation. Two of them. They were space cadets. I said, you are the two witnesses. You believe that? They said, yeah. I said, breathe out fire. They said, what? Breathe out fire. He said, no one can do that. The two witnesses can do that. Now breathe out fire. I said, see you later. And we don't want space cadets to be leading small groups. So I said to this leader, and we were sitting in a group of us, I said, that's good. What I was meaning was, even if they are space cadets, they need to start somewhere, because we are not just shooting for the stars. We are guided missiles, and a guided missile had to be fired first. So long as they are fired, we can guide them after, so that they don't longer become space cadets, they become Captain Kirks. But let them start. So if you're not in a small group, get into one. If you can't get into one, start one. And then we'll guide you. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So you'll be a guided missile that will find its target, but start. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
God is a good God. So this is what it says here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Why do you ask for wisdom in the middle of faith? So you will know whether it's a trial or a temptation. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
So we shared that. And when you look back, we understand where we are now. So if things change, you won't be coming to church. You'll be having church at your small group.
Yeah.
And you who are leader become the shepherd of that small group, where you minister so that the needs of that little microcosm, that little embryonic church, are met, people are cared for, people are shepherded, because that's what God shared with me. Let the small groups be where people find pastoral care. Otherwise, you're gonna run the pastoral team to the ground, because they can't look after the church, because the church is growing. God wants the church to grow, but he wants people to be cared for. Are you okay? And then we said this, and we'll finish shortly, because we have services for an hour. It's just 1 hour, all right? Now, you're just here for an hour, but I've been here since 8:30 this morning, all right? I've been talking most of the morning, all right? And I need to go home and have a cup of tea and sleep, because we have another meeting tonight. Tonight, there's no service. Tonight, we meet with the head departments and leaders, and especially our small group leaders. I want you to come if you got a small group, because there are some things we want to implement for this particular time that we are in. Hallelujah. We said this. We preach on thinking ahead, and then we preach on thinking long term. Now, why did God give us those messages? Now, some of you did not know, but all those messages, now looking back, are all prophetic, because God was warning us, think ahead and think long term, and do small groups, because people needed to be cared for. But if we don't act up, then we will be left behind. Hallelujah. So if things change, there will still be a service. We'll live stream the service so that you can see the service from home. But if you're a small group leader, gather your small group so that people can be cared for, and there'll be facility online to give online. Never forget to give. All right? Give to the house of God. The Bible is very specific about where to give, and not just our tithe and our offering. A lot of people just say, well, the tithe is God's. But God said this, you robbed me not just on tithe, but on offering. Why? Because everything belongs to God. But we need to honor God. But there's a particular portion that goes to the house of the Lord. Now, you can give online. We've never given online. Well, we have. There is a particular part of our giving, not our tithe, our giving, where we give online every week. We've given to the facility, the building, the facility around here. We've given to the facility a portion of our income every week. And we've done that for the last however many years. But our tithe, we normally give our tithe and we bring our tithe to give here. And there's a particular reason why. We want you as a congregation to watch Fear and I give. We don't just give because we want to honor the Lord. We want to give as an example for you to observe. So we bring our tithe and we always give our tithe physically here. We may change that now with everything changing, but I'm just wanting you to know that that's the reason why. There are part that we give online, but our tithes and offerings that we bring that not for the fact that we ought to bring it, but we bring that also for your sake, so that you as a congregation can watch my wife and I give. So don't just meet, give, because this is a season that we are going through right now, and it may change. Last week, we started off with 500 meeting. Then in 24 hours, it went from 500 to 100. That's why we had three services this morning. And I was scared coming into the first one because I saw the car park was full of cars. We'll have more than 100, you know. We'll break the law. And I came in and it was all right. Maybe everybody brought their own car and that was fine. But I was looking out at the car park this morning at this service. Oh, that's all. But that's fine, all right. But that's what we are doing. We won't have a children's church while this is going on, and we won't have any cup of tea. Well, after the thing, you go home, have your own cup of tea at home. If there is a cup of tea, it's for the ministry team because they're staying here for three services. Let me say something else. If we keep on going this way, we'll probably run down our team. So we'll have to find ways so that no one is burned out, but everybody is ministered to. I was in India at a church that has 11 services on Sunday. So they started Saturday night, and we ministered at two of their services in the morning, and there's about 6,700 at every service, and we ministered at two services, but they have 11. So they have structured their church. Every service has a different ministry team. So they sing, and after that service, that team go out, another team come in, and when they get there, they start singing. So they've got about 11 music team ministering in the weekend so that no one is burned out. If we have our music team minister at all the services, we might burn them out, but we don't want that. So all these, I mean, the ground where we are is shifting. We don't know. It may change tomorrow. In Seattle, you can't meet over 50 people. In Samoa, only 5. So for a nation where everybody goes to church on Sunday morning, like Samoa, if you have just 5 people, I mean, that's a whole kind of mind change. So, but God is with us. Everything's hunky-dory. God is a good God. We are a people of God. We are a people of faith. And we are moving forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.